My name's AJ. I'm sugar addicted, compulsive overeater, among many things, and a maintainer, a 100-pound maintainer. For what it's worth, I live in San Diego County. I would venture to say that my bottom, even after years and years in and out of program over decades, was in 2012 when I had a stroke due to weighing close to 300 pounds, excuse me, 350. My carotid artery was blocked. I had diabetes so severely that it couldn't be charted according to my primary doctor, and multiple other physical anomalies that was a physical characteristics that were created by years and years and years of addiction to sugar and fat-laden foods. My first OA meeting, believe it or not, well, I believe it, was back in the 80s when gray sheet was the way to go. And at the time, I was in my early 20s, and it freaked me out. Number one, that I would have to adhere to such a stringent food plan. And number two, that those who did not adhere to it back in the day were not allowed to share. And I felt that that was a bit discriminatory. It scared me. I didn't come back till years of later. Going back, my mother and father, looking back retrospectively, had issues with food. I remember my mom as a closet eater, God rest her soul, and my dad, sitting at the kitchen table after a long day of working, with some confection and a big glass of milk. And I remember, watching them from the stairs in New Jersey. Having said that, it's not their fault. I believe to this day that I have a disease. It's not a moral issue. God wasn't extending his wrath on me. It was just one of those things that happened. And as a small child, I remember finding all of my mother's hiding places for goodies. And I would say, probably the most pressing memory is at 4 years old, I remember stealing the dog's biscuits and eating them, sitting on the couch and eating these dog biscuits one after the other, bite after bite, just to get to the next one, and looking outside, almost as if I was just wrapped up in some type, some form of escape. So looking back at that, there were signs of abnormality at a very early age. A typical childhood for a compulsive overeater. I don't have the monopoly on stories of a child being teased, a child being kind of abused, and years and years later, when I would find program, memories of sexual abuse by a family friend were uncovered. Teenage years were tumultuous. I was always looking to fit in, always looking for an easier, softer way. And I remember one day in particular when I was walking home from junior high school in Tucson, Arizona. And I had been teased, like we all are, like I said. I don't have the market on teasing. Walking into the kitchen and seeing something in the refrigerator that was sweet, something sweet to drink to go with it, and I just remember going, "Ah, oh, okay, now I'm going to be all right." Anyway, teenage years, fairly typical for a compulsive overeater. Tried all the diets back in the day, since I'm no spring chicken. It was the shots. It was metric count. It was any fad diet I could find, including some which I started marketing. My teenage years were difficult. My father died when I was 12. And being the youngest of four, I was often labeled as the one that was precocious and most willing to succeed, which I find kind of funny at this point. Anyway, when I was, I think 18 or 19, I went to school abroad in England to pursue a degree in English literature. And it was at that time I found I was kind of reclusive. And when everybody else was in town enjoying the sights and Sherwood Forest and other beautiful images, I would be waiting for the dorm manager to open up the store, which sold tea and coffee and fags, which were another name for cigarettes, and sweets. And that would be my highlight of the day. And my friends nicknamed me Cadbury Queen. Anyway, coming back, my 20s, when I got back from Europe and school abroad, I decided that I was going to try to make up for lost time. So I experimented a little bit with alcohol and drugs, got caught with a marijuana cigarette, and back then it was a huge felony. Spent the night in jail. A lot of things, as I look back, totally mindless, totally impulsive, a reliance on no instinct whatsoever, or no desire to find any spiritual solution, although I had a strong label as one who followed an organized religion. Basically, that's how it went. And then, as years progressed, I took a sidetrack from my pursuit to be an English teacher, which I ended up doing for many, many years and still do periodically, and became a radio announcer in the San Diego area after years of moves and that type of thing. And what happened when I was behind the microphone back in those days, way before all the advances of technology, is I developed an alter ego. And behind that microphone, I was whoever I wanted to be. I wasn't short and heavy and unattractive. I was 5'10", blonde, and everybody's dream. And then I would have to make public appearances. And people had absolutely no holding back when it came to letting me know that I didn't meet their fantasy. So I hated making public appearances. Anyway, that being short-lived, maybe 6, 7 years, I went back and to school. I live in North San Diego County. Drove back and forth to San Diego State for a year and a half straight to pursue two master's degrees. And in so doing, knew every single sweetery on the way from North San Diego County to San Diego County, which I frequented every time I went. And that is how I made it through school. Meanwhile, in the interim, I married my late husband, who died in 2017, in 1984. And he was a wonderful spouse. He accepted me as I was. I mean, he didn't like it, but I would say one of my deepest regrets is that he only saw me in program spurts of time and did not get to physically enjoy and share in the recovery that I have today. And today is all I have. Anyhow, saying that, having said that, the way to a stroke and near death is to weigh 350 pounds I'm lucky I still have eyesight. I'm lucky I still have teeth. I'm lucky I can still cognitively function. And I would say my most significant behavior came around 2 years before I had the stroke. As I mentioned, I'm in public education. And one day at 5 o'clock, when I was trying to play the big shot at work, still there when everybody else went home, I was in the faculty workroom, and everybody's mailbox still had, I refer to it these days as contraband, still had all the Christmas and Hanukkah goodies. And being arrogant and feeling very entitled, I thought, well, if they're dumb enough to leave it there, hey, fair game, it's mine. So I got a sack, excuse me, from the custodian, and I loaded everybody's Christmas stuff into it, proceeded to take the sack with me, and ate all of it. Long story short, moving forward, after I had rejoined the program a few years later, this time to stay, I got to make amends to everybody financially, collectively, as a staff, and individually in person. And if that's not grace, I don't know what is. That was many, many years ago. Let's see, it's 2024. That was around 14 years ago. And to be honest with you, I refer to it as incomprehensible demoralization. My coworkers thought it was funny. For years and years and years and years, they teased me. It's like, oh my God, hide the stash. AJ's around. And I had stashes everywhere on campus. I'm not happy to admit, but some of my former students went out to get my fixes. They would jump the fence near my classroom, and they would go, "Oh God, let's get her something from Jack in the Box. We won't have to write an essay." I mean, I look back and I can't even believe some of the stuff that I did under the confines of the disease that I have. But moving forward, I rejoined program very, very seriously in 2012 after I had the stroke. I had a tough year in 2017. My husband died from a lung disease. He literally smothered to death. My house burnt down in the Southern California wildfires, and I had two dogs tragically die. And I said to myself, okay, God forgot your forwarding address. If this is what recovery is going to be, I don't want it. So I relapsed. And the couple times that I have relapsed, I'm here to tell you that this disease is vehemently progressive. It does not go away. Time does not diminish it or reduce what it is capable of doing. Today, I'm a retired but still working periodically teacher at Vista High School in Vista, California. My carotid artery unblocked itself. My diabetes is pretty much non-existent. Admittedly, I walk with a bit of a limp because I have some physical issues after decades of carrying around 350 pounds with a 5'2" frame. I have some health issues, admittedly. I think we all do. I've got some symptoms of long COVID. I have been diagnosed with some PTSD from 2017. But as long as I know that I still have a purpose and that I can help someone, I may be powerless, but I'm not hopeless, but I'm not helpless. As long as I know that there is something that I can do to touch a person's life and touch a person's heart, I will be okay just for today. And thank you for honoring me and allowing me to share this morning. And Malia, it is a pleasure to be in step study with you. And I wish everybody grace and blessings. And my time is up. So once again, thank you so much.